Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Chester. Today, listeners, we have a wonderful, wonderful show planned for you. We will be talking to medical doctor Paul Golden. The name of the show today is An Insider's View of Bipolar Disease. So have you ever wondered if you or perhaps someone you love could be suffering from bipolar disease? Looking for straightforward information on the numerous treatments that are available? Well, of course you are, because you want to gather as much information as possible. Today, you're going to get those answers. We will pick the brain of Dr. Paul Golden, MD, a doctor who has lived with bipolar disease since he was in medical school. If you are watching the or listening to the enhanced version of this, you know I have a book available for you. Yes, I do. He has written An Insider's View of Bipolar Disease, How to Recognize the Symptoms, Understand the Treatments, and Solve the Challenges to Life, Relationships, and Career. Simply click on that title and you will be taken to his Amazon page. We have two commercial breaks that we'll be taking for you today, and that is with webgood.com. As well as an Indiegogo page, from Coffee Meets wants to tell you about a 200-year-old house, as well as blessingsallaround.com, and that's blessings-all-around.com. Well, without any further ado, and I know that the doctor doesn't have a lot of time today, so let's get to his interview. Hello, Dr. Paul. How are you? Thank you for joining me on Modern Living with Dr. Angela today.
I'm quite well, thank you. And thank you, Dr. Angela, for having me.
Yes. Well, you know, I love being an author. I love having on anyone who has written a book that is going to give people a sense of enlightenment, to go from point A to point B with a new knowledge base. But my show is also dealing with things from not only a Christian perspective, but from a mental health perspective. So I am so happy to have you on today. So you get to fulfill two things that I absolutely love. So I want to ask you this, and I know you probably get asked this question all the time, and that is, why did you write An Insider's View of Bipolar Disease and your memoir, Bipolar MDA, Doctor's Experience with the Curse and Blessings of Bipolar Disorder?
Well, after practicing nephrology and internal medicine for 33 years and 6 years of training before that, I retired at 65 and decided I needed a new career. And always having been a voracious reader and sometime writer, I decided I'd write about bipolar disorder, a fact-based mm-hmm. book first, and then a memoir, to be an advocate, to come out of the closet, which in some people's case is so hard.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, when did you go ahead?
By the books, and actually more by doing what we're doing now and by speaking engagements, I basically want to spread the word about bipolar disorder and get rid of the stigma and educate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much for saying that, because we do need to In this day and age, we need to release the stigma that is associated and just allow people to get the care and assistance and support that they need. Now, when did you know that you had bipolar disorder?
Well, over 40 years ago, in my third year of medical school, actually, I had my first episode of major depression.
I can tell you, major depression. If you could, and I'm sorry to cut you out, but you mentioned major depression. As you continue with your answer, can you also tell our listeners what major depression is? Because many times people just have the blues or the blahs, and they don't have depression, and we just use the word depression so just easily in conversation. Could you explain that as well, please?
Sure. In the book, there is a separate chapter on melancholia, what we all experience, as well as, of course, how it's different from major depression. Major depression is defined basically as having four of the following symptoms lasting more than 3 weeks. Such things as morning awakening, I call it morning terror, where you don't want to face the day, loss of confidence, inability to make decisions, pessimism, hopelessness, increase or decrease in eating, anxiety, and of course, in the worst case scenario, suicidal ideation. So that those are the main, I listed about 7 or 8 symptoms. Then there are quite more.
Yes, you
in
were,
my own case,
and I thought I cut you off. Yes, I was asking you about when did you know that you had bipolar disorder, and you were saying, and I apologize for cutting you off, you were saying that you were in medical school and you had an episode with depression.
Right. You know, and even as a medical student, a third-year medical student, when I was doing clinical rotations, surgery at the time, I did not know what was happening to me. For the first 2 or 3 weeks, I awakened early, fearful of the day, not wanting to get up, get dressed, forcing myself to. And eventually I realized that this was a malady of the brain. And I called, fortunately I was in a position at a medical school to call the Department of Psychiatry, and got an appointment that very same afternoon with a psychiatrist. I went on with outpatient medications, which were not very effective back then, with him for another couple, 3 weeks, and I got worse and ended up admitted as an emergency and sent to up to the psych unit. Very, very scary. I ran down the hall of the back entrance to the ER, which I knew. From what I can remember, I was screaming and crying, and the next thing I knew, I woke up the next day in a padded cell, having been given, I guess, Thorazine. My doc quickly switched me down to the second floor, which is the affective disorders floor, where a much more comfortable environment to indeed. Now, I actually spent 2 weeks in that unit, and my doc tried me on every medication that there was then, the tricyclics, the anti-seizure medicines, even antipsychotics, and I was getting nowhere after 2 weeks or so. And I actually asked him in the morning, I said, I want electroconvulsive therapy. And Renard Hospital, part of Barnes Hospital in St. Louis, is a big research center and also was doing ECT quite commonly. And after the first three courses, which were every other day, I was back to normal and able to do the rest as an outpatient.
Okay. Amazing. I'm so glad that you spoke up for that.
Well, you know, these disorders more commonly occurred in the third decade when people are in their 20s, and I was probably 26 or so. And back then, more so than now, maybe, the third or fourth day I was in the hospital, the dean of the medical school came and visited me and said, Paul, don't worry, this is not going to affect your studies here at Washington University, and with good control, it's not going to affect your training in the future.
Okay. Yeah. You need to know that. You want to know that, you know, it's not going to affect your livelihood, but at the same time, you'll be able to deal with it and know that, you know, that you're going in the right direction.
Well, you know, and it could have, because it was such a critical point of my life that had I not had the access to care, you think about it, you're in medical school, you get a major depression, and not really having access to a psychiatrist, that could lead to dropping out of med school, and that's the end of your career. You know,
that's right. It's that moment could have decided it all, and not necessarily for in a positive direction. As I said, I'm so glad that you made that decision. Well, listeners, we need to take a very short break, but don't worry. We are going to continue to talk with Dr. Paul Golden, MD, a doctor that has lived with bipolar disease since he was in medical school. We'll be back right after this.
Just imagine, you finally get married. You bought everything imaginable to make your wedding day special. From creative centerpieces, ceremony and reception decor, your beautiful wedding dress, or perhaps your gorgeous tuxedo. How about all those quirky, funny wedding signs your guests just loved? Even your bridesmaids have a dress they only wore once. But now they're sitting in a closet or a garage collecting dust. What do? Post them on WedGoods.com. On WedGoods.com, you can make money back on your gently used wedding items. We bring you directly in touch with new brides, grooms, and bridal parties looking for your stuff. The best part is, it's free to post your items. WedGoods only takes a small percentage when you make your sale. So why wait? Start making money back on your wedding items and post them for free on WedGoods.com today.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I am your host, Dr. Angela Chester. Today, we are doing an insider view of bipolar disease. That's right. We are talking with Dr. Paul Golden, MD. So you were saying how, if just in case listeners, you guys joined us in the middle, you have missed a lot. So please be sure to go back and listen to the rebroadcast of this. But the doc was just saying how, you know, if he had not been in medical school, and how certain resources may not have been available to him, and that, you know, what if he didn't have those resources? Man, where would he be right now as far as his medical practice is concerned and as far as his mental health is concerned? We need to really, really let the stigmas go when it comes to mental health and allow people to get the support and the help that they need. Because many people just aren't willing to come out and say, and I'm so glad that Dr. Golden did. Now, the next question that I have for you is, since you have written two books, as well as speaking engagements, polar disease, what have you found that most people with the disorder or their family members, what do they ask you? What do they want to know? Do they just thank you? Like, thank you so much for this inside review? Or, you know, what type of reaction have you gotten from them?
Well, the question and answer sessions at the end of the talk, which usually is about 45 minutes on my part, have been really, really gratifying. I might mention that this first book, An Insider's View, etc., is a book, an educational book. It's not really about me. So I've been speaking about that. But, of course, when I speak, I'm also bringing in anecdotes about the second book, which is how I did this. But the in this case, say, high school students ask questions that are very penetrating, such as in the case of one asked me, well, why did it take you so long to realize it? since you were in medical school. But even more than that, mm-hmm. When I gave copies away of this first book to neighbors, friends, family, etc., almost 100% of these folks, neighbors, for example, would tell me that, oh, I have a friend with bipolar disorder, or I have a family mm-hmm. member, I have a parent, etc. And that is gratifying in that they wanted that book that I gave them, and hopefully they'll spread the word to others mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. way. Also, through the website, I have an email address, and people who go to the website have contacted me on my professional email site and asked me questions, shared their stories. Now, I want to emphasize, I'm no Dr. Phil. I don't give medical advice, but I give advice. In fact, generally they're asking for general advice, like mm-hmm. what should they do? Should she see a psychiatrist? Do I have any recommendations locally of a psychiatrist? One just wrote in from the University of Miami saying that, I'm not sure quite what he was getting at, but he said that he was not able to get into medical school because he was bipolar. And he was reapplying. Should he get a lawyer? Because he's taking the boards again and he's going to reapply. Mm. And I'm not mm-hmm. sure if he was in the middle of a depressive episode or a hypomanic episode when he did his first application, etc. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, gratifying responses to audiences and email postings.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just touched on thinking about that gentleman, the depression as well as the mania. Which have you found to be worse? Is it the depression or is it the mania?
Oh, in my case, the major depressions have been far scarier. It's a pain in addition to a mental state. It's a physical pain, like somebody pushing on your stomach. It's if you haven't been there, it's so scary. Michael mm-hmm. Douglas writes about it, and Mike Wallace talks about it in a book he wrote. And I've had five distinct episodes of major depression in these 40 some years, and they start like a switch is going on, and they stop generally now when I've been placed on a different group of medications. The mm-hmm. hypomanic episodes, I've had dozens, but they are not debilitating to the extent of a major mm-hmm. depression. That's when breast cancer is diagnosed. What is a woman first concerned about when she's told that she's in remission? She's worried mm-hmm. about, well, is she going to have a recurrence? And mm-hmm. when I'm in remission from this disorder, my greatest fear is, am I going to have another depression?
That is absolutely positively true. And listeners, you know that I do the occasional workshop for being a co-survivor because I suffered from breast cancer. But this is being a co-survivor from any standpoint of your loved one having cancer. And that is one of the things that we talk about, how the person who is a survivor or in remission or however you want to word that, you know, you get a little pain or a little twinge, something, and you automatically go back to, oh, my goodness, is this a reoccurrence? How am I? How do I feel? And then you start going through, you know, trying to self-assess and decide, am I sick or am I okay? And it really does come back to you. It doesn't matter if you're a year out or if you're 10 years out. I've spoken to some ladies who are about 11 years out. She says, oh, yeah. You know, you still think about it. It's still in the back of your head, most definitely. Now, let me ask this question because I know for cancer anyway, they like to test you to see if it's perhaps genetic. Now, with bipolar disorder, is this something that is hereditary or is it just the luck of the straw, if you will, that you end up with bipolar disease?
Well, bipolar disease is the most genetic and hereditary diseases of all, of any of the mental diseases, maybe schizophrenia being
mm-hmm.
second. And you can almost routinely, in my case, for example, trot up the family tree on either the maternal or paternal side and find others. My
mm-hmm.
mother had major depression. Her mother had it, and it ended tragically. I have a first cousin who is bipolar and a first cousin who's schizophrenic. And it's just interesting, there have been studies, of course, that when one parent is bipolar and the other isn't, there's about a 10% incidence that children will be bipolar. If both parents
mm-hmm.
are bipolar, that increases to 30% chance of any particular child developing bipolar disease.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow. You know, I think that people just don't know the numbers because it's so, mental illness is so taboo. It's just, we don't want to talk about it at all, that we do ourselves such a disservice, because if only we knew, we would probably be able to do better. We would be able to recognize the symptoms and be able to, you know, step in and handle it that much sooner. Well, Dr. Golden, I need to take another very quick break. But listeners, don't you go away. Don't worry. We are going to finish our conversation with Dr. Paul Golden, MD, as we continue to talk about an insider's view of bipolar disease. We'll be back right after this. Well, listeners, we have an Indiegogo page that I want to share with you, and you're going to find it absolutely intriguing. Now, when you go to this Indiegogo page, it is in German. Do not worry if you scroll down to the bottom half of the page. It is also in English, and I want to thank Carl Philippe so much for doing it in English as well, for, you know, sharing with we Americans over here so that we can know about his cause. So in a nutshell, there are three people that are living in this adorable home: Mother Suzanne, Father Carl Philippe, I always say Carl Philippe, and little son Luke. They live in a house that is between 200 to about 500 years old. And, of course, here in the States, when we go through restoration, you have to have all of the correct permits, the paperwork, everything has to be just so. Well, the same is true if you live in Saxony, which is between Germany, the Czech Republic, and Poland. And if you go to this Indiegogo page, you will find out all of the wonderful things that they've already done to the home, but bringing it up to par, they need a little bit more assistance, like new windows, repairing some of the plaster, some of the facade, some of the underfloor for heating, and all of it. It is an absolute marvel because their home is a very special type of home where it is a log cabin wrapped inside of another building. It's awesome. I'm telling you, the things that you can see around the world. Well, if you would simply go to this Indiegogo page, you will be able to find out more because Carl Philip has shared a ton of pictures with you, and you can share as little or as much as you possibly can. Now, I'm going to spell the name of this cute little home for you, but you're going to go to Indiegogo.com, and you're going to type in UMGEBINDEHAUF. Now, my German is a little off, but I'm going to try not to butcher it too much, and I believe it's ungebietenhof. So hopefully he's not laughing at me too much, but you'll be able to visit there and help as best as you can. So on behalf of his family, I'd like to thank you for any and all donations. Of course, if you're listening to this on the enhanced version, simply click on his name or the word renovate this 200-year-old home, and you'll be taken to the Indiegogo page. thank you, listeners, so much for joining us for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I am your host, Dr. Angela Chester, and we are talking with Dr. Paul Golden, MD, who is sharing with us an insider's view of bipolar disease. Well, Doctor, I know that we only have about 5 minutes left in the show, but I do want to ask you about two or three more questions. And one is, I know that you've mentioned that you have practiced medicine for 39 years until the age of 65. Why did you retire? Did you decide, you know, I'm done, I've done all I can do, I want to, you know, sail around the world? Or was it that you felt, you know, more a pull to go and talk about your life experiences? Why did you retire?
Well, starting in 1974 or so, 75, practice of medicine was quite different than it is today. There weren't many rules and regulations. You could practice medicine in your own way, so long as it was good medicine. And I was trained in good places. Over the last 15 years, medicine has become what I call corporate medicine, where organizations such as Kaiser, maybe I shouldn't be saying these by name, but large group organizations that are HMOs have made it almost too competitive for small groups. And I spent the last 23 years as a solo nephrologist, made it hard for us to compete. Also, the numbers of rules and regulations that have come about, not only in PPOs, which are basic private insurance, HMOs, and Medicare, almost a new rule every day. So that has led to practicing medicine in the last few years, it's just not fun anymore. So a whole generation of people, of seasoned practitioners like myself, have either retired or joined one of the large corporates. And in this area, the large corporate in California is called Sutter. And I'm not belittling them. They are doing a great job, but us little guys and small groups, medium-sized groups, have either been bought out by these folks or individual docs have been absorbed into them. I'm glad, actually, that I was 65 when all this stuff started coming down, so I could just say, ah, enough, enough.
Perfect and, timing.
Yeah. So,
you are not the first doctor to have said that. You know, it's really interesting because many, many doctors have said it's just not fun anymore. It's like all of the joy, or it's like taking the wind out of the sail. It's like it's just not. It became more of a chore or a burden. I've heard many doctors say it's like. But the one thing that sounds true is it's just not fun anymore. Well, Dr. Golden, I hate to have cut you off there, but we are down to about our last minute. I want to make sure that our listeners can get to you. What is the best way to visit you online? Would you say just the Amazon, your website, any place that you would like to direct us to?
Well, of course, my website is where there's so much information, and I'm adding blogs weekly, and that's www.mdgolden.com. www.mdgolden.com. I can be reached on email by at paul@mdgolden.com. As far as the book, it's out on Amazon now. The second book will be coming out in August. You can go right to that site by going to the bottom of the website, or you can just go to Amazon and type in my name or the name of the book. I might add that the second book is going actually to be called Bipolar MD, The Struggles and Success of a Physician with Bipolar Disorder.
Okay. Dr. Paul, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Thank you so much for visiting here at Modern Living with Dr. Angela. We do appreciate your time and sharing such an awesome topic with us. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you as well for joining me for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Chester, and I hope that today has been an awesome day for you. And as always, may the Lord continue to shine His face upon you. May you experience His grace and His mercy. Here's to another awesome, awesome week. Everyone have a great day. Until next time, bye-bye.